The ethane from Pennsylvania's Marcellus Shale that's traveling through the Mariner East is being exported to other countries. One of the first to import this gas was Scotland. Fracking is illegal there, but using fracked natural gas is not. For State Impact Pennsylvania, here's the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier again. He went to Scotland, where he found American shale gas is playing a role in the UK's own debate over fracking. This is the second in a three-part series.
On a quiet street in central Scotland, Kevin Ross surveys a sprawling industrial plant.
You can see some of the flares down there operating, some of the silo towers across there, and some of the many cooling towers that are actually on site.
Ross is president of the Scottish Plastics and Rubber Association and runs a local plastics testing company. He's taken me to look at Grangemouth. This is Scotland's biggest petrochemical plant and refinery. It's built on the Firth of Forth, a wide river estuary that empties into the North Sea. And it's here where ships bearing American shale gas are brought into port.
It comes here, it is then taken off the ships and put into large storage tanks. The storage tanks are then used to supply the rest of the plant.
The plant is owned by INEOS, a European chemical company. The plant makes plastic and chemicals out of ethane, a common byproduct of oil and gas drilling. But its source for that gas, offshore wells in the North Sea, have started to run dry. So in 2016, it started shipping ethane from the U.S. Most of this gas originates in western Pennsylvania and crosses the state through the Mariner East, a pipeline whose environmental problems and use of eminent domain have drawn controversy. The gas is then exported through the Marcus Hook port facility near Philadelphia. With this new supply of shale gas, the Grangemouth plant has returned to full production. Ross says that's good not just for the 1,300 who work there, but for other businesses as well, including his own. Ross takes me to his company's lab, a few blocks from the plant.
These are climate chambers. They'll cycle from minus 40 to plus 100.
This place is a sort of torture chamber for plastic objects. Ross's company, Impact Solutions, tests the effects of heat, weight, and pressure on everything from artificial office plants to construction materials. He shows me what looks like a glossy plastic pipe.
Almost certainly, because of what it's made of, it's either nuclear, pharmaceutical, or military. Almost certainly, because it is so expensive.
So it's a pipe?
It is a pipe on steroids. It's a very high-performance pipe.
But it's not just companies that work with plastic that depend on the Grangemouth plant. There are other businesses, too.
Aye, cup of tea, just some milk, please, aye.
At the Rumbling Tum food cart, Lindsay Breen cleans up after a day selling sandwiches and hot drinks. Breen said if Grangemouth were to ever slow down, so would her business.
The refinery, we get most of our customers for the refinery, and we have done for the past 25 years. So if the refinery was to close down, then it would make a big impact on our business because we depend on the workers from there to come here and be fed.
The refinery almost did close down a few years ago over a labor dispute, but INEOS won concessions from the union representing workers there and got hundreds of millions of dollars in government loan guarantees for retrofits that allowed the plant to import American shale gas. INEOS officials did not agree to an interview for this story, but in a company video, CEO Jim Ratcliffe says importing cheap American shale gas was just simple math.
You know, shale gas, you know, some of the gases that come out of shale gas are the sort of fundamental feedstocks for the world of chemicals. And those feedstocks now in America are a quarter of the price they are in Europe.
But the company still wants its own supply of cheap local gas and is pushing for fracking in the UK. Zoe Shipton, a geologist at Strathclyde University in Glasgow, was part of a team of researchers that studied the idea of fracking in Britain.
The sort of headline news is that there is potentially quite a lot of gas underneath the UK.
But just how much gas is unknown and can't be known unless there's more drilling. But that idea has been met with fierce opposition. Norman Phillip is with Friends of the Earth Scotland. He grew up in Grangemouth, where his father worked at the plant when it was owned by BP.
It was a boom town. Like, so people were moving in because there was work, there were social clubs, there was a buzz about the town. We were fueling the nation.
When INEOS tried to bring fracking to Scotland, Philip and others opposed it over issues like earthquakes and climate change. The production of plastics makes up nearly 4% of all global CO2 emissions. He's also heard stories about fracking from people in the US and Australia.
People were telling us of gas leaks. They were telling us of children having headaches. And there was a toxic element of it.
As the pursuit of shale gas spread across the Atlantic, so too did arguments both for and against that are by now familiar in Pennsylvania. In the UK, the pushback to fracking led to a different result, though. In 2015, Scotland put in place a moratorium on fracking, and this month, the UK government in Westminster did the same. But INEOS still has licenses to frack in Scotland if the government were to ever change its mind. While fracking is illegal in Britain, it's still legal to import shale gas produced by fracking in the US. This bothers Norman Phillip.
Why should a community in America have to suffer what we've fought hard against? Oh, our slogans were no fracking here, no fracking anywhere.
Others are glad the INEOS plant is still running, even if they wouldn't want fracking nearby. Kenny Mullen is from the nearby town of Falkirk. Watching his son ride a bike at a park a few blocks from the Grangemouth plant, he says that when INEOS threatened to shut it down a few years ago, there was panic over the potential economic effects.
There was certainly, it was tangible, you could tell. People were worried for their jobs and stuff like that.
Mullen says he's glad there's no fracking in Scotland, even though he's aware of the contradiction in his views.
I think most people are anti-fracking, myself included. We're happy to take the gas which has been obtained in that method from America, so it sounds really cutthroat just because they're making money out of it, you know?
If there were a way to get by without fossil fuels, he says, he'd be all for it. But for now, the gas arriving from the U.S. is keeping the plant and his town afloat. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Fraser in Grangemouth, Scotland.